I want to read something out of that I saw this morning that is worth repeating. It's advice from an old farmer, it's called. I'm going to skip some of them, but you're not quite appropriate, but most of them are like practical things that we need in everyday life or that we face in everyday life. So one of the, starting with keep skunks and bankers at a distance. Words that soak into your ears are whispered, not yelled. These are good proverbs here. Meanness, that's when you're mean, doesn't just happen overnight. If you're mean-spirited, maybe your dad was mean-spirited and you're just passing it down. Forgive your enemies. It messes up their heads. Think about that one. Do not corner something that is meaner than you. It don't take a very big person to carry a grudge. That's a very good advice. You cannot unsay a cruel word. Think about this one. Before you open that trap, make sure you understand what you're going to say. Somebody's going to be hearing it. And maybe you didn't even mean it the way it came out, but in other words, it still came out and it hurt somebody, so be careful. Every path has a few puddles. And remember, when you wallow with pigs, expect to get dirty. The best sermons are not lived. And the best sermons are lived, not preached. Most of the stuff people worry about ain't never going to happen anyway. That's a fact. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So why do you worry? This goes very well with my message. That's why I'm using this. Remember that silence is sometimes the best answer. Don't judge folks by their relatives. That's also a good one. Live a good, honorable life. And when you get older, think back. You'll be able to live it the second time. And you'll say, oh, that's good. But if you have regrets, man, that's a horrible life. That's a horrible way to end life or to go to live in your older days. Don't interfere with something that ain't bothering you. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. That's a metaphor, if you know what that means. If you're in trouble, stop while you're ahead. Sometimes you get, and sometimes you get got. There's a little bit of a twister, but you have to think right. The biggest troublemaker you'll probably ever have to deal with watches you from the mirror every morning. Always drink upstream from the herd. That's a good one. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. If you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering somebody else's dog around. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, leave the rest to God. Don't pick a fight with an old man. He's too old to fight. He'll just kill you. And most of the things come down to common sense. And I'm not talking common sense that interferes with faith, because faith is not common sense. This is not the faith life that I'm talking about. This is the everyday life that we walk in. Remember, common sense and faith are contrary to each other, because it's not common sense to believe in something that you don't see. It's by faith. That's why it's called by faith. Anyway, going into my message, I have this is how to operate as believers out of Philippians 4, out of the New Living Translation, Philippians 4, verse 4 to 14. And Philippians, especially the last chapter, has always been a challenge to me. Every time I read it, it never says, good job, James, never. Hasn't yet. Because it always challenges me. And that's the whole point of that chapter. So before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord to open our understanding and give us the means to help live this chapter. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. You'll open the hearts and minds with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we don't serve a dead religion. Our religion or our life is full of life by the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us things to opens our understanding to help us see things that we would not naturally see. So open our understanding. Lord, we are leaning on you for understanding and to help live this out so that we can be living proof to people that we are yours. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Starting with the fourth verse out of Philippians, again, this is the new, the King James Version, may I say, is also very good, but this makes it so everybody will understand it. Starting with this, always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Now look in the mirror right away. Don't look at your neighbor and say, I wonder if he's doing that. Look in the mirror yourself. Do you rejoice? Are you full of joy in the Lord? That's a choice you have to make. The first choice you have to make, get full of joy in the Lord. How do you do that? Number one, if you're saved and you don't know how to do that yet, then maybe get saved first. But again, if you don't know how to rejoice in the Lord simply because that you're saved, that is the essentials of Christianity. One of the first things that fills your heart when you get saved is that joy, that first love and that joy that happens to you. At least it happened to me when I first became saved. I was overwhelmed with joy and peace. So that is fundamental to Christianity, that you have joy in the Lord. And here it says, Paul is writing, always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considered in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. King James Version is very close to this. Let everyone see that you are considered in all that you do. That means you think of other people, not just yourself. So again, I'm talking to myself here. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Are we doing that? Don't worry about anything. If the Bible tells us to do, why are we worrying? I'm not saying you shouldn't worry, but when it comes, stop it. Worry will come and hit every human body, every human mind. It will come. You cannot stop worry. But what you can do is control it past that point. You can say, I will choose not to worry about this. I will trust God. Do it, and your life will become 10 times better, not 100 times. There is no end to that. I'll show you what happens if you start doing that. And this is written here also. The next verse. Tell God what you need and thank him for what all he has done. Second, make sure you thank him for what he has already done, starting with your salvation, saving you from an eternal lake of fire. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. This peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So where's the guard come from? From being thankful. When you are thankful and are full of the joy of the Lord, this peace will come that passes all understanding. You will not even, again, there's common sense out the window. You won't even begin to understand where this peace comes from. It's supernatural peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And now verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Instead of always focusing on the negative on a person, think of those things. See if you see any of those things in the person, even in yourself. And this is what he's trying to tell us here, that we should fix our thoughts. Our thoughts. Remember, there's a scripture where Paul also writes to the Corinthians that we should bring every thought under subjection. So how do you do it? You do it this way. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So instead of always condemning or gossiping about a person, think about things that we can lift them up and praise the Lord for having a friend like that, instead of always keying in on his weaknesses. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. It's Paul writing. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Boy, this guy must have been good. Then the God of peace that will also be with you. now the God of peace will be with you. That's not just peace being with you. Now the God of peace will be with you. Now I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you don't have the chance to help me. So obviously they were not very well off, but they still helped Paul financially. Not that I have ever... Now he's going into the needs. This is where the pavement, the tire hit the pavement for me when I always came to this scripture. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how deep to be content with whatever I have. Is that a challenge or what? Are you content with whatever you have, or do you want the tractor the neighbor just bought also? Or do we want his toys that he's buying? I'm looking in the mirror. You will look in the mirror yourselves. This is for me. Am I always envy of what somebody else has, or am I content with what the Lord has given us? Remember, the Lord is at hand. He warns us in the beginning. The Lord is at hand. His coming is near. So we don't need all that stuff. Enjoy life. I'm not saying don't enjoy life. Enjoy things. Praise God. Do whatever he says there. Make sure you're thankful for whatever God gives you. Whatever happens and gives you, he blesses you with whatever he blesses you, then be also thankful for that, because there's also lots of bad things in life that can come your way, but that you need the help of the Lord to overcome. So always be plugged into what the Lord has for you. So again, I'm going to read this 11th verse. Not that I was ever in need, but for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or without everything, or with everything. Sorry about that. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. I know how to live on, 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. In the King James Version, it says, for I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Think about that. And now in conclusion, the last verse here is verse 14. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. He was in prison when he wrote this, sitting in Rome, imprisoned for what he was doing, preaching the gospel. So now, having said all that, can we challenge ourselves to be something that maybe most of the time we're not? We are in control of our lives. If you're always judging your life by somebody else's, you're already starting off on the wrong path. Always look that guy who you look at, the first guy you see when you look in the mirror in the morning. Straighten that guy out first. Live. Become a magnet to draw people to want to know, to live the way you live, just like Paul said here. He goes to that, that they should live the way, everything that you've heard from me and saw me doing, the things that he was doing, he was telling them, do also. Can we say that? Can I say the things that I do, please do? Or do you want, or is it like this? Do as I say, not as I do. So with having said that, let us be magnets for Christ in drawing the lost to him and telling them about Jesus whenever we can. The Lord bless you.
Everybody here? Some in the bathroom? I remember when I was a kid, they had those long songs they sang. And I'd ask the German teacher, I want to go to the bathroom. You again. Sorry, guys, that's the way I was. You again. Okay, now to find out where I am here. There you go. Anyway, those bathrooms, I'm sure, have caved in already. They've covered the holes. You're not even a memory. But I sure sometimes think about those things. And that's what kids do today. So don't be too hard on them when they sneak out of here. I understand them. Oh, they're having a good time while everybody has to sit quiet. Anyway, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to all of us. And he speaks mainly through Scripture. Last week, for those who were here, I had a Scripture message. And I want to continue in that to drive home the importance of reading Scripture. Never mind, I think this is the way. It has to line up with Scripture before it has any value. How do you know that? I know it because people's ideas change over the years. They come and go, but Scripture is there for the rest of eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says all Scripture, not half of it, not some of it. Every Scripture has something for all of us. And we need to depend on him. And as you get older, especially if you're a teacher, you have to lean on Scripture or they'll tear you apart. And that's it. All you have to go on YouTube and you see that incredible animosity amongst preachers. I don't know how God's going to settle that. But Scripture has to be our last and complete say-so. Nothing else will suffice. Now listen to this, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Very interesting. You start asking yourself, who has taught Timothy Scriptures? Well, there's somebody who taught him how to read. But who taught him Scripture? It says in 2 Timothy, pay attention to it, that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So regardless of what anybody teaches you, I know Timothy had a good mother, he had a good family life, and they taught him a lot. But the Bible says, you have been assured of things by what? By studying the Scripture that were able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So how many of us have had that revelation that we are secure, we are saved in Christ Jesus when we not only study Scripture, even listen to them, even a song will do it. But it's mostly your heart that reaches out. These Scriptures are true regardless what my forefathers taught me. These Scriptures are going to be my last say-so regardless how I was brought up. And that goes with all religions, whether it's Muslim, Hutterite, Mennonite, any of those religions, the Hindu religion, they have part of scriptures in all of their writings. They come to a certain truth, but they fall short of the truth. And that's the salvation message. So as a child, you were made known by scripture. That's interesting. Scripture opened Timothy's eyes to the salvation which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because if scripture teaches you, nothing will take it from you. You might join a cult. They'll teach you certain things. And after a while, they don't quite line up with scripture. So you have to look for something else. But if you start in scriptures right from the beginning, you'll never be disappointed, regardless how many different places you are going to go and preach. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us this. This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come, and we're in them. We're in those perilous times where your faith is going to be tried just because it takes forever, it seems, for things to happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. When you study Ezekiel 38:39, I've been waiting for that war since I was a Christian. Now, at last, I know I'm at the doorstep of seeing what Ezekiel prophesied. That was 5,000-6,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago or something. I mean, it's coming to pass. The word of God is coming to pass. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's not going to be anything in them that reaches out to God. To them, God is something that you just have or hope or think or maybe he's there. No, if God is not the center of your life, something is not going to go right with you eventually. Without natural affection, that has gone out the window in the 70s when they started abortion. How many children have they killed since the 70s? I'll give you a hint. About 65 million. They sacrifice them to Satan. That's what abortion is about. Sacrificing children to Satan. And that's why we're in the trouble we're in now. Unless people turn around and become godly, we are going downhill fast. God has to do something. It tells us they shall be without natural affection. The horror that you see on YouTube where women, they pretend to have babies on the street and kill them. That's the kind of things I've watched. They kill them. They make everything bloody around them. Their natural affection has gone out of the window. God has given them over to a reprobate, a godless mind that they don't care nor think or even worry what anybody says. That's as bad and as far as they've come. They're traitors, they're heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Don't let your prayer meeting interfere with my hunting. Let me tell you, I'm not coming. Don't let your prayer meeting interfere with my hockey game. I'm not coming to your prayer meeting. I'm going to my hockey game. Don't let your prayer meeting interfere with my business, because I'm going to even show the wife how the business is run. Kind of sounds like the Old Testament. They become lovers of pleasure more than they love God. How many of us are like this today? We'd rather be caught up in pleasure than in the things of God. This church has had prayer meeting since I've basically started it in some Hutterite system. And it's gone off and on, and it's never stopped till today. What are prayer meetings for? God kept us. God kept us. What are prayer meetings for? They're to petition God for what you want. They're to bless God for what He is. They are to worship Him with all your heart. There are sometimes you don't feel like it, but let me tell you, it's worth it. And if you make a habit of it, like you make a habit of going to work, it'll catch on. I kid you not. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you have those people around you, try to get away from them. If they deny the power of the Holy Spirit, if they deny casting out devils, healing the sick, doing these types of things that God called us to do, if they say that when they went out with the apostles, shut those guys off and never listen to them again. Because what else do they have wrong that they are disagreeing with Scripture? I've been listening to a guy, a very prominent preacher. I should tell his name, John MacArthur. He talks to millions of people. The last message I heard was, if you take the mark of the beast, you can still have a chance of accepting Jesus as your Savior. Anyway, that's what I think, he says. Is that true? No, that's total demonic. And you will have to answer for that. We have to watch out for people like that who think, never mind what the word says, who think this is going to happen. No, we say what the Bible says is going to happen. Then we can put our trust in it. Hallelujah. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They don't trust God in any of the things that you do. If there's a weather system coming up, what do? You pray against it. If there's sickness and disease, what do? You give up. You say, Lord, I'm finished. No. You say, Lord, I'm going to be healed. And if not in this life, I know one thing for sure. There is a time coming where I'll be perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because if Jesus doesn't come back, there's something waiting for all of us. What is it? It's a 6-foot hole that we're going to be dumped in. And that's it. And covered up. We all have that coming. So if Jesus doesn't come back, this is the truth. All people, whether young or old, we have to die. So are you ready for that death that's coming? Or that life, I should say. It's not going to be death. For the believer, we're going to spend eternity rejoicing in what God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. It says in John 1, in chapter 11, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, those who believe in him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you, anybody here, anybody listening by internet, and you end up in hell, it is your and yours alone that you have to blame. Because the Bible teaches us, if you so much as believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, you have the power to attach yourself to him and become his child. Hallelujah. Have you become a child of God? I did. Hallelujah. I have never looked back. I have never said to myself, oh, Dave, you were a fool. Look at all the fun you missed all your life. I never said that once to myself. I'm thankful for what happened to me. Now God speaks to me like he's never done before. And he will bring the fruition that is waiting for me when I will see him. The fruit and the goodness will be packed on me one of these days. Why? Because I turn to him for that salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the law was given by Moses. John chapter 1. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ Jesus. People who still preach the law, I kid you not, the veil is still over their eyes. They don't see. As soon as the veil is taken away, then they start to see things. The grace of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ will set you free from all the law that was nailed to the cross. And it starts, we begin doing that. Get rid of the law. I'm not saying discount it. It should not run our lives. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's fulfilling the law. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. That's fulfilling the law. And if we even have tried, we will be a success. Now listen to this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I before wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I studied up on this one. God give him the revelation of the Old Testament. It became clear. The Bible teaches that the prophets tried to look into it and couldn't see and couldn't understand what we're seeing today. Well, God gifted revelation to Paul, and Paul gave it to us word, that when we read, we will understand the mystery of Christ. Are you reading your scripture? Are you listening to your scripture? If you don't, you're not going to get the revelation. You're not going to receive what Jesus is, who he is. You will never, ever find out the love that he has for you if you don't study what Paul has made so plain for us. He made the Old Testament plain. He gave us the revelation. He said, it's given me to wear to your word, that you may understand and read and understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I read it. I read Paul first. I understood Paul first. Then I started studying the Old Testament. Then things became alive in the Old Testament that shook me to the bone sometime. What the law demanded and what the sacrifice wanted. The law was broken 1,000 times. And God, they had to bring something, a lamb to sacrifice. God would not look at them until they sacrificed that lamb. Then his anger was abased. That's how it works. And when he sacrificed, when God sacrificed the lamb, Jesus, he was abased. He was simply put at ease. I now can handle what is going to happen, and we're going to forgive them. And they made a good job. Hallelujah. I'm free because of what Christ did. I'm free because of what God did through Christ. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that I may become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That is an awesome scripture. And here is the simplicity of the gospel that Paul wants us to understand. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. You're saved by grace through faith. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was called righteous before he got circumcised. Think about it. He was righteous. He was righteous before he became a Jew. Why? Because he had faith in what God told him. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not something you have to work for. Not something you have to run after. Not something you have to dress for. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, we're going to stand there. We will have nothing to boast. Oh, I did this, I did that. No, none of us will. We'll all say we are here because of what our Jesus did. Hallelujah. We're going to brag on him. We're going to brag on him, and he will say to us, come, my good and faithful servant, I love you for eternity. That's going to be our end as we leave this life. So open your heart to this message and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.